I'm Allison Kulo.
And I'm Doug Wells. Welcome to Mound Money on KPCW.
Have you ever looked at videos and wondered how some YouTubers or TikTok stars can effortlessly connect with you through the screen? They seem confident, comfortable, and approachable. But how do they do it? Are they simply born that way? Is it possible for mere mortals like you and I to learn to do that? And what cool projects could we tackle if we had those magical skills? Cam Hauser runs a cohort-based class called Minimum Viable Video. He spent much of his professional life learning the secrets of how the best video stars perfected their craft. And he now teaches his class to folks like us on how to be good enough on camera, how to make your own videos to differentiate ourselves, open doors, and more easily accomplish our goals. Cam, welcome to Mound Money.
Howdy, Doug.
Howdy, Doug.
It's a pleasure to be here.
So let's start with the name. What do you mean by minimum viable video?
So a minimum viable prototype is a concept from the startup world that says, let's learn the most effective version of a thing, but in its smallest format. And if you want to learn video, trying to make a Hollywood production, that's a pretty daunting affair. Or making, you know, a Netflix-style documentary, that takes a lot of work and effort to get there. But with just a little bit of learning, you can get about, you know, 70-80% of the way there. So a minimum viable video is the idea that we're going to do some of those best practices for production, but not go crazy trying to make something that is, you know, the next Titanic or the next Avatar or something like that.
Makes it a little less daunting. So in the intro, Doug mentioned like YouTube stars and TikTok stars, and people seem so at ease on camera. Is that something learned, or do we need to be born with this in order to do that?
That's a fantastic question. There are some people who are just naturally radiant. They are magnetic and everything sounds incredible. But what's amazing about being on camera is that there's some folks who are famous now, who have millions of followers on YouTube, and you can see their earliest videos, and you can see them fumbling with their words, you can see them with terrible production. My favorite example of this is Marques Brownlee, known as MKBHD, and you know, the guy is a millionaire, one of the top YouTubers in the world. And his very first video is him reviewing a laptop where you can barely hear what he's saying. He's stuttering constantly. So if anything, seeing an example like that lets you know that it's learnable.
Excellent. You know, I want to bring this to the relevancy of our town. Park City's a ski town. We have a lot of small business owners here, folks that maybe tech entrepreneurs trying to open doors. Frankly, a big challenge for entrepreneurs here in town. We have a lot of restaurateurs. It's hard to get good employees right now. It's hard to fill all the positions that are available. And I want to give you a chance to talk about how creating a minimum viable video might be helpful for them. Maybe for folks that's not even on their radar screen. Let's take the restaurant owner. How could a restaurant owner use this concept maybe to get the word out and help him or her get more applicants for the jobs they have open?
Gotcha. So a workplace, you know, it's very much determined by the values of the leadership. And when you apply to a job, if you know you're trying to get a line cook or something like that, there'll be a text description of the job. What I would encourage someone in that situation to do is make a 1-minute video where the owner is on camera talking about what's important to them and why this is an interesting job and what the upside is for taking it and what the details are behind it. Video is a much richer medium than text. So this is the kind of thing that the people who resonate with you and you realize, okay, the culture of this place and this kind of environment that I'd like to be a part of, video will convey that much more richly than text.
I understand the ability for video to bring more to the table. Is this a technology that we're now focusing on because of, you know, the youth and how they're growing up and how they're looking at media now? Are we adapting for this younger generation by using video this way?
That's a fantastic question. So I'm also a professor on the side. I teach a class called Creative Entrepreneurship at the University of Texas. My first year of teaching this course, I assumed that my students were going to just be shining on camera, just be digital natives through and through. Turns out a lot of them have some of the same challenges that we all do. And so I actually think the bigger driver here is that something really radical happened when the iPhone came out. At that point, we were all carrying a video camera around in our pocket. And if you have the YouTube app installed in your phone, well, now you have the means of global distribution right there. So I think these are just technology changes that happened. And it's like this secret that the world is finally getting aware of that, wait a second, we have more technology. If you wanted to be a filmmaker 50 years ago, you needed to grow up in Hollywood or you needed to have really rich parents, whereas now we all have it. And so I think culturally, we're just figuring out that we have these tools and it really goes cross-generational.
You know, speaking of tools, those of us that watch YouTube fairly regularly or even occasional users, we know there's a lot of equipment involved, right? There's special cameras, there's special microphones, there's special lighting. Do people need to do that? Like in the restaurateur example, do they need to dish out a couple thousand dollars to do this, or can they just do it on their iPhone?
Definitely their iPhone. I strongly recommend that before you buy a camera, which, you know, people think usually buying a nice camera is the first step in this process. And the approach that I'm really fond of teaching is, let's max out your iPhone's capabilities first. And what's really wild about this is it takes a long time to outgrow your iPhone. And with every new upgrade of the phone, it gets that much better. So the iPhone 13 is going to have bokeh, which is the blurry background that, again, a lot of people, for them, that's the gold standard of high production value. So what I really recommend teaching is things like quiet your room. If you turn off the loud air conditioner and you face a window and you frame yourself properly on the camera, you're going to look great and you're going to sound great. And it's interesting how many very famous YouTube stars, every once in a while, they'll use iPhone footage just in the middle of all their heavy-duty production, lighting, audio, all that footage. And a lot of times we don't even notice.
When a client comes to you, do they need to know that they have a specific message to deliver, or could someone start training and not know what they'd be using video for in the future?
Well, our premise, like the whole idea behind this course is that great companies and great careers are built on camera, and that this is going to be a table stakes part of being a knowledge worker. So some of them, they're entrepreneurs with a business, they know exactly what they're doing. But some of them, they've got a job where their expertise, they don't really share it. And so no one really knows that they have this expertise and they haven't really been recognized for it. So what we help them do is figure out, how do they tell that story? And how do they find their voice? And what is it that they want to share with the world? So we certainly dive into the technical parts, the equipment parts early on in the course. But we spend far more than half, I'd say about two-thirds of the course, is on storytelling and on figuring out, what do you want to do? What can video be the bridge for where you're trying to go?
Yeah, and in fact, Cam, when I first heard about your class, I'm not in an industry where people would expect a video from me. And I thought, man, I could see where this could open some doors that might otherwise be hard to open. My take is, if you're in an industry where people don't expect a video, it's even more powerful for you. But talk to us about some of the goals that your common students have. What are they hoping to get out of taking your class?
So that's a great question. And you're very right about, in industries that don't do it, it's a really special thing. I am old enough to remember when getting an email was special. Getting an email was, oh, wow, this is fun. Now, whenever we receive an email, it's usually someone asking us to do something. What's really exciting is that if someone records a video for you with your name in that video, it's special. It's something that just, it lights us up. And so a lot of my students, when they realize that, they realize they can use that to get in touch with, you know, industry leaders who they really admire, with collaborators they might want to work with. We have folks who, you know, we strongly encourage people to use video in the job search process. So when you send a cover letter, you just put a link in the cover letter to a 1-minute YouTube video of you explaining why you would be a good fit and the impact you can drive. And it's just so much more human than a cover letter. So we're in this special time right now where if you do add video to the process where it's not standardized, it's a huge upside. But in general, the reason students take our course is they want to close deals. They understand that video will help them do that and help them get sales. And a lot of them are also understanding the importance of audience building, and that audience building is not something that major media professionals or authors do. There's value in even having a small audience in 2021. And so a lot of them want to dip their toes in the water with that.
Can you give me an example of a student who had successfully use this to close a business deal?
Sure. My favorite story is the story that inspired me to start doing this kind of work. I got a very annoying repetitive stress injury from typing. And so it was, well, it was painful for me to use a computer. I found that I could talk as long as I needed to. And so I would send video messages to various friends and family. And there was this deal that I was trying to close with this this large organization in DC. And I thought, you know what? I think a video will help in this process. And I sent a video along and I closed the deal. They told me very specifically, hey, this got me, that, you know, this is why we went with you. It just gave us so much more perspective about the work you're going to do. And I remember looking back at the video, and it was on YouTube unlisted. Unlisted means that no one can see it but people who have that link. And the view count was 4. So 4 people saw this video. And that really was a big moment for me, realizing that, wow, to get paid this very, very lucrative consulting deal and to win this opportunity for something that 4 people saw, it goes very much in contrast to building a, you know, if you get millions and millions of views on YouTube, that doesn't necessarily translate to financial value for whatever work you need to do. So that's an example. But I have several students who, again, have included videos in the job search process. One of my favorite examples is this woman who did a video walkthrough of her resume. She said, you know, you're probably drowning in resumes. Why don't I walk you through it? And then told specific stories about different lines, and she got the job. So there's a number of ways to insert it into the process that can make that connection come through and ultimately get what you're trying to get out of it.
Yeah, it's very powerful. It gives you a chance to be much more persuasive. Kem, you and I are both students in a cohort-based writing class called Write a Passage by David Perrell. And it's how we met. It's how I found out about minimum viable video. Tell our audience, I think that's a new phrase for a lot of people, cohort-based class. What is that, and what is the power of that? Why did you choose to do this as opposed to putting your course as, you know, an online course that people take by themselves?
Sure. So self-paced courses are when you go to a website, maybe there's you watch a video or two, and then they give you tasks to do. And the failure rate of this style of courses has been awful for a very, very long time. And cohort-based courses are the first type of online education that really cracked it, that really figured it out. And there's a few reasons why. One of them is that all learning is social learning. So these courses, they attract really, really smart people. And in the same way that no one goes to Harvard or Stanford for the lectures, those are all on the internet. You go there to be surrounded by good people. And these cohort-based courses attract the same types of people. The other thing is that when you get used to making content, to making videos, a lot of people, their first fear is that the world's going to look at them and laugh at them how terrible they are. That's actually not what you should worry about. The much bigger problem is that you find the courage to post it on the internet, and it's crickets and tumbleweeds. Nothing happens. And what these courses give you is a very, very early audience of people who will read your stuff. They'll tell you what they liked, and they tell you what you didn't like. And so the real magic of our course, Minimum Viable Video, is that put something on YouTube, at first no one watches it. But with our cohort, it's all these people together at your same stage, and now it's encouraging to get feedback from them. And they'll give you pointers on lighting and audio, and it just works better. The other thing about these courses, they're very output-driven, so you don't leave with some intangible, abstract sense of learning. You leave with 5 completed videos. You leave with things that you're proud of that you can share with the world that help you accomplish your goals. So those are just a few reasons why I think they're so powerful.
With the course, you were mentioning that you end with 5 completed videos. How long is the entire course? How long would it take you to brush someone up, you know, to be able to sparkle?
We can get you sparkling pretty quickly. We have a lot of mechanisms and tools and ways to learn that. I want a lot more than sparkling, though. Again, I want you to have things on the internet that are serving you. So one of the ways to think about a great video or a great blog post you have on the internet is it's like reverse networking. Going to a networking event and chatting someone up, you don't even know if you're talking to the right person. That can be exhausting if you're an introvert. Whereas if you have a video on the internet that's sharing an idea that's helpful and useful to other people, when it resonates with someone, they come to you. And there's something so beautiful about that, is that people interested in what you do just coming to you instead of you having to go find them. That process takes closer to a while to get content like that and really grow that way. So our course is 5 weeks long. We meet twice a week, and then some optional sessions on the weekend, just for people who want dedicated time to have some work sessions.
So Cam, I'm going to give you a chance to share with our audience how they can find out more. But we've got 45 seconds left, and I noticed in your bio, you were kind enough to share your bio with us, that in the past you taught in Colombia, South America. You taught at Universidad de Rosario. I was fortunate enough to be in Bogota about a month ago. I was on that campus. I learned about the history of that school. It is the Yale of Colombia. 28 of Colombia's presidents attended that school. And I'm curious, what did you learn from that experience being amongst some of the most promising students in Colombia?
It made me really grateful for the infrastructure we have in the United States, and that I met brilliant thinkers and really impressive doers down there. But some of the students had said, you know, the hurdles that you deal with in the United States, whether it comes to payment processing for starting a company and any number of other things, they just go more smoothly there. And it made me get a better understanding of how entrepreneurship works in a global context. And to me, it said, all right, American entrepreneurs, stop complaining and keep going.
There's no four-hour delivery or next-day delivery from Amazon in Colombia. But it's a beautiful country. I had a great time, and the people are wonderful. Hey, we need to wrap up, but before we do, Cam, how can people find out more, and when does your program start?
Yeah, so the program kicks off in 1 week, and our cart's open for another day or so. If you want to find it, go to bit.ly/MVVcart, so bit.ly/capital M, capital V as in video, capital V as in video, cart. If that's too complicated, you can go to actionworks.co/minimum viable video. But I'm really active on Twitter and love to meet any of y'all there. My Twitter handle is @CAHouser. So CAHOUSER.
And I'll give the audience another tip. If you just search on minimum viable video, either the first link or the second link will be Cam. So if you didn't write that down, that's another way to join. Cam, I've enjoyed being a litter mate with you in our cohort-based class. And thank you for sharing your story of minimal viable video. Thank you for listening to Mound Money. Please visit kpcw.org for more information.